I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 19. Paul said that I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You know, that's a sad commentary, verse 21. We look at the ministry today, quote unquote ministry, and we think about, you know, some of the things that have come out through the years and how that it hurts the cause of Christ. But even in Paul's day, even here in the early church, there were those that were not in the ministry for the right reason. And they were not seeking the things which are Christ's, but they were seeking their own. But about Timothy, he said, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Or served with me, excuse me, in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scripture. I pray, O God, that you'll, Lord, help us to glean tonight a truth that would speak to our heart and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, O God, tonight that you'd help us that we might be a blessing. And Lord, I pray tonight if there's one among us that, Lord, does not know you, Lord, that you might challenge their heart tonight as we look at these characters in the Word of God and the character that they possessed in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to get me a little drink of this water before we get started. We covered quite a bit of ground last Wednesday night. By the way, don't y'all let me forget. Somebody remind me by Sunday, I need somebody to preach for me next Wednesday night. So if I haven't gotten that taken care of by Sunday, I certainly need to do that. If something happens that I don't get somebody, then Brother Rick said he'd be ready. Didn't I hear you say that, Brother Rick? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, Sister Kathy, I believe Brother John's going to be gone next Wednesday, ain't he? That's what he talked. Are you sure? Okay. You don't know. Okay. Y'all pray for them. They don't talk to one another much. Amen. Amen. All right. We'll work it out. I'm sure it'll work out. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look here tonight. And we were talking about last week. And this thought continues a little bit in the study. But we were talking about how that the Apostle Paul carried a burden, even though he was in prison. And we talked about that it certainly looks like that there was two imprisonments in the life of the Apostle Paul. That first one, it was kind of like house arrest. He had a lot of liberty that he didn't have in that second imprisonment. And we talked about how that he cared for the church at Philippi. Proverbs said, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." And so here we know this is in Proverbs. That's talking about a literal herd and a literal flock. But we know that when we come over into the New Testament, that we, the people of God, are the flock of God, and that God gives the flock an under shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Amen. But he gives the people of God an under shepherd. And so Paul is trying to be diligent to know the state. As a matter of fact, he uses that phrase in verse number 19. He said, "That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state," how they were doing, how they were progressing and in their faith. And Timothy was sent at any cost to sail over to Philippi to see how the saints were doing, because the Apostle Paul had it in his heart. He just had to know how they were doing. I wonder tonight, you know, the Bible said, "Examine yourselves." So Paul is really, really interested in what's going on over there in the hearts and lives of God's people. And I think tonight that the pastor, he ought to be interested in what's going on in the flock, in the hearts and lives. Are they growing? Are they growing up into the stature of a man or a woman in Christ? And wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad for Bible Way, pastor and people, to meet Jesus, a bunch of babes that haven't grown, that haven't matured? How many knows what I just said? Amen. That'd be sad. And Paul, he knew that that would be sad of the church at Philippi, so he just couldn't stand it. He had to send Timothy over there. He just had to know how they were doing. He had to know their state. And so we ought to be interested and concerned as pastors about the state of the church and the flock of God. But we that are Christians, we certainly ought to be concerned about our children. Are they growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord? I mean, listen, I don't think there's a thing wrong. You may disagree with me, but I don't think there's a thing wrong with asking your youngin, "What was the lesson about this morning?" And asking on a Wednesday night, "What was the lesson about tonight? What truth from the Word of God did you learn?" Amen. What is it that meant the most to you? In other words, I think it's pictured here. Not only should the pastor care, but the parents should care. And then we ought to be able to look in the mirror as the people of God and say, "God, am I growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Am I progressing? Am I getting closer to you, or am I getting farther away? Am I growing up, or am I remaining a spiritual babe in Christ?" Paul said, he said, "I trust the Lord that I'm going to send Timothy," and he said, "He will naturally care for your state." Actually, I'm not changing the Bible, but what Paul talks about here, being like-minded, Paul is saying, just like, because of who lives in me, it's just natural for me to care. You can't buy that. Amen. You can't produce that. You can't, even for your children, you can care as a parent, but to care as a Christian is because Christ lives in you. Amen. And to care for their spiritual welfare goes above and beyond just caring that they have clothes and that they get a good education and that they have what they need in this walk of life. And we know that if we do care in that manner, it's because He, the Lord, lives in us. And so what I'm trying to say, and not changing the Bible, Paul is saying, listen, I don't have any man like-minded. Paul's saying, I can't think of anybody else except Timothy that I could count on to do what I need done. Amen. There's nobody else like-minded, but he said, who will naturally care for your state. Actually, the caring is supernatural. How many knows what I just said? The way it's being worded here is Paul is saying, He's like-minded. He and I are alike. We have like a heart that's alike. And it's not just me that cares. He cares. But I believe Paul, if he could say it, would say it. We care because he cares. Amen? Because the Lord cares. So who will naturally... And Jeremiah said it like this. I believe it's a good way to word it. Jeremiah 3:15, God promised his people this blessing. Here's what he said. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. How many knows in the book of Jeremiah, and I'm not going to go there tonight, there are other pastors described too. Pastors that scatter the flock. Amen. Pastors that, like we are going to get into here in a minute, who they're not looking out for the things of Christ, but they're looking out for themselves. And so God said, I'll give you pastors. And I believe certainly the church at Philippi would holler to us, amen. God gave us Paul. God gave us Timothy. And they cared for us. And they cared for our state. And I say, the Bible, you come on down here, he said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And I read this a little while back, and I'm just going to repeat what I read. Somebody said some time ago, a man told me, Brother Rick, if you ever need to say something real mean, he said, don't just say it. He said, just repeat it after somebody that already did. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But here's what I read. Here's the statement. Shame on preachers who live for themselves and forget the flock of God. Shame on them. And I'll tell you something right now. You can mark this down. At the judgment seat, it'll be a shame if a man has lived for himself and forgotten the flock of God. It'll be a shame. And it will come out. It will. The word seek here means to search or to strive or to demand things. And the tense it uses is in the durative action. It means they're never satisfied. These here that seek their own and not the things which are Christ, they're just constantly, constantly going after more and more. And they don't only seek after it, but they demand it. How many knows what I just said? Years ago, I heard about a preacher that went into the barber shop and he sat down. He got his hair cut and he got up and he walked out. There was something skipped in there. It's called paying the barber. Did you know there are men in this world that feel like something's owed to them? Let me say it again. There are men in the ministry that feel like something's owed to them. Paul wasn't like that. Timothy wasn't like that. Are you listening to me? He said, preacher, what'd you do after you heard that? Here's what I try to do, and I probably 99% of the time do it. I try to pay the barber before I sit down. I want to be as far away as I can from that crowd, amen, that demands. Are you listening to me? That demands of the people of God, that demands of society. I believe with all of my heart, Paul was not like that. He didn't seek his own. Timothy did not seek his own. We should be seeking the things that are Jesus Christ. We should be looking after God's people. It's the Lord's church, and he is the good shepherd. But I'll tell you something right now. God set it up this way. I didn't. But he wanted his church to have an under-shepherd. Amen. Everybody knows that, don't they? I go back to something that I guess it was the Wednesday night after God put it in my heart on Tuesday night to come here. There's all kinds of preaching. You all will hear it. You'll hear it often. How that sheep need a shepherd. That is preached often, and it should be. It's scriptural. Sheep need a shepherd. But I'll tell you something else. Shepherds need the sheep. You want to know why Paul's heart is the way it is for the people at Philippi? He don't just want to know. He's not just a busybody. He needs to know. He needs the flock of God. That's a two-way street. Y'all know that? Amen. Somebody said one time, said, if you think you're leading and you look behind you and no one's following, you're not leading. You're just going for a walk. Shepherds are supposed to be leaders. Amen. There's supposed to be somebody that wants to follow. Amen. And they followed Jesus. They followed Paul. They followed Timothy. And I believe it's important. He gives us an under shepherd. The true pastor, he's not a hireling. He's not for sale. He cares for the sheep. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You say, preacher, what was Paul willing to do? He was willing to give his life for the sheep. Does that remind you of anybody? It reminds us of our Savior. The Bible said the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is in a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. They seeth the wolf come and leave the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Paul said in another place about Demas, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know what Demas was? He was a hireling. He fell in love with the world. He fell in love with the things of the world, loving the flesh more than loving God. Paul, while pastoring at Ephesus, said this in the book of Acts chapter 20. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. How many believes that's how Paul lived his life? I do too. Amen. The Bible then in Philippians 2:22, it said this. It says, but you know the proof of him. This is talking about the proof of Timothy that Paul was going to send. You know the proof that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. It was the proof. First-hand information, eyewitness data. The Philippians had seen Timothy. They had watched Timothy. They had watched him caring for Paul. They had watched him preaching the Word of God. They had watched him doing anything that was asked of him. And on top of everything, he remained loyal to the man of God. The proof. I thought this was interesting as I studied it. Proof, it means anything that has been analyzed or scrutinized, carefully studied in order to determine if it's genuine. Paul was genuine. Timothy was genuine. Old timers used to say it, and I'll say it just in honor of them, genuine. Amen. Genuine. Proof. It's also used, I think you've probably heard this in reference to coin making. They'll say this coin has been proofed. You've ever heard something like that? And there in coin making, there can be a counterfeit. But when it's proved, it will come out that it's not genuine, that it's a fake. Amen. And Paul is talking about Timothy. He said, listen, you know the proof of him. He's real. He's not a fake. He's genuine. He's proven his faith. He's proven his love. I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that one of the things that's wrong with America is there's not enough genuineness in the pulpit. And there's not enough genuineness in the pew. There are fakes in the pulpit. their fakes in the pew. God doesn't want us to be men and women of fake. He wants us to be men and women of faith that love Him and serve Him. And I believe Timothy was just such a man. Paul said, you know the proof of him. It'll all prove out at the judgment seat, won't it? Where the Bible said our works will be tried so as by fire. They're going to pass through the fire. Some will be wood, hay, and stubble. I've often tried to say this because I believe it's true. It is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And when that right thing for the wrong reason goes through that fire, it's going to burn up. God wants us to do the right thing for the right reason. Because we love Him. Because we love His Word. Because we love His people. Because we love sinners. Because we love the things of God. He said, as a son with the Father, He hath served me in the gospel. And that goes back to, I think, some of what we were trying to cover Sunday night. There's genuine harmony. There's genuine unity. Amen. Between Paul and Timothy. Paul could trust him. Amen. I tell you, it's an honor to work with people that you can trust. Amen. What an honor. Paul said, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Here it's obvious Paul doesn't want to just send Timothy, but he wants to come in person himself. The Bible said that we ought to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Paul is in jail in Rome thinking he's soon going to be released. And Paul later is going to be in jail in 2 Timothy chapter 4 thinking he's going to die. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I believe with all of my heart he cared. He was committed. And that ought to challenge us as the people of God. Amen. Philippians said earlier, being confident in this very thing, that's the confidence that Paul had in Timothy, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing this is tonight, is it not? What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I want to go over here tonight and see, we got time. Let's start on this anyway. The Bible said here, I hope to send him. I hope myself to come shortly. Let's look at verse 25 tonight. I really probably should wait and start on this. We only got about 7 minutes until 8 o'clock. We'll just go ahead and start on it tonight. He said, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministereth to my wants. I believe it's a wonderful, wonderful picture here in the life of these two men that ought to challenge us as the people of God. His name, Epaphroditus, I just learned this afternoon. I didn't realize this. It comes from belonging to or favored by that Greek goddess. And I believe you say her name Aphrodite. It might be spelled Aphrodite, but I believe I've heard it said Aphrodite. And his name, it means lovely or charming. She was the Greek goddess of love. And he said, preacher, I don't understand why you'd even bring something like that up that's really not even true. I'm just trying to get you in the culture to realize where his name came from. And I want to say this. Before Epaphroditus ever came to know the Lord, God knew that he would. And his name means lovely or charming. And certainly, after he comes to know the Lord, he can live up to that name, even though he was named after that Greek goddess. And so I want to give you some ways tonight that I believe Epaphroditus was a lovely Christian. a good example. In these verses tonight, there's a lot going on in his life. The first thing that I want you to see is that I believe he was lovely in his worship. The Bible said, I suppose it necessary to descend to you, Epaphroditus. And then these words, my brother. He's my brother. Isn't it a blessing to get together with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I believe that Paul knew that he had seen enough in his life to know that he, like Timothy, was not a fake, but he was real. He was genuine. And he was one that worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, one that worshiped the God of heaven. He wasn't worshiping a Greek goddess, but he was worshiping the God of heaven. They had the same God. They had the same goals. I believe Epaphroditus and the Apostle Paul had the same goals in their life. And I believe when you look at what's going on in the life of Epaphroditus, the Bible said over there, it said he had been sick, nigh unto death. Do you see that? He had just practically given his life for the cause of Christ. And I wrote this down because it spoke to my heart. He and Paul experienced the same grace. How many times did Paul almost die in the work of God? Amen. I don't know what these fellas, I mean it. I don't know what they do with scriptures like that when they get up and tell people, if you love God and you serve God, and they act like, oh, you're just gonna have such a wonderful life and you're not gonna experience any hardships and it's a mess. Because here is a man that loved God with all of his heart. And he's serving a man that loved God with all of his heart, and he's in prison. And there's another example in Timothy as well. And so he was lovely in his worship when the Bible said, my brother. What a blessing that is. He was lovely not only in his worship, but look what the Bible said, and companion in labor. I believe he was lovely in his work. I don't believe you'd run up on Epaphroditus and hear him murmuring or complaining or backbiting or full of strife and full of anger. Full of jealousy. You wouldn't run upon this man like this. Here's a man that was lovely, not only in his worship, but he was lovely in his work. Let me show you something over here. I looked at this today and it blessed my heart. Look at go to chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Paul is writing in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Here Paul is saying, I was at Thessalonica and you guys sent stuff over there. Now watch this. Watch how it got there. He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, when we send missionaries, if we'll do that in the right spirit for the right reason, amen, to help them get the gospel out, God said there'll be fruit that will abound to our account. When that man we read about tonight, Brother Mike, when he wins one of those deaf people to Jesus, every church that's making it possible for that man to be on the field will have a part in that was accomplished for the glory of God. Watch it here. He said, not because I desire a gift. Paul said, that's not what it's about. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, I have all and abound. I am full, having received, here it is, of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This man was used. He was a link between the church and the man of God. He was used of God. He was lovely in his worship, but he was lovely in his work. A sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. Look at verse 19. I'm not going to run this rabbit very far, but the Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We love that verse. We ought to love that verse. We've memorized that verse, and we ought to memorize that verse. but we ought to take it in its context. This promise is not just thrown out there to anybody. Here's a bunch of people, amen. They're not living for themselves. They're not looking out for themselves. They're living for others. And Epaphroditus is being used of God to deliver from the church at Philippi the necessity, the necessary things to the Apostle Paul when he's in Thessalonica. Amen. Well, he was lovely in his worship. He was lovely in his work. Let me give you this and we'll quit right here tonight. He was lovely in his warfare. The Bible said not only companion in labor, but look at the next word, and fellow soldier. And fellow soldier. I believe that, I'll get on this maybe a little bit more when I get back, not next Wednesday night, but Wednesday night a week, but I believe there's something pictured here in the life of Epaphroditus that's important, and that is a balance. I have, I think, five things: worship, work, warfare, there's a warm affection, and there's a welcome. But there's a balance in his life. I think everybody knows what it is when a tire gets out of balance. If it's a front tire that gets out of balance, it generally shows up in the steering wheel. If it's a back tire that gets out of balance, it generally shows up in your seat. How many knows what I'm talking about? You feel that vibration in the seat. Not your seat, but the seat. You feel it with your seat in the other seat. You feel it. Where you're sitting. You feel it. Am I right or am I wrong? That thing get, how many's ever had a vehicle that had a bent rim? If you haven't done that, you're not married. Never mind. I'm not going to tell them, Miss Eve, about you going all the way down the driveway and starting out. Never mind. I'm not going to tell them that. But for 20 pieces of silver, I will after church. Amen. But I think there's a balance here. You could take somebody. Let me give you an example. They pray all the time, but they don't study. Or they study all the time, but they don't pray. Or they study and pray all the time, but they never tell anybody about Jesus. How many believes fellowship is important? It is. But you got people that fellowship all the time and don't study. This man, I believe, is a picture of a balanced Christian. A man that he's not just involved in worship, he's involved in the work, he's involved in the warfare, he's a fellow soldier, amen, to the Apostle Paul. He's got a warm heart. He loves them. Watch what the Bible said here. I'm trying to quit. He said in verse 26, for he longed after you all. He longed in his heart after them. I say that's pretty lovely, wouldn't you? To have that down in your heart. Epaphroditus, what an example of a balanced believer. A balanced believer. The Bible said later on, not regarding, look at verse 30, not regarding his own life, not regarding his life. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let me read this statement. It'd be a good place to unhook tonight. I can't remember who said it. If you can, that'd be good. I could probably look it up, but I can't remember who said it. But here's what he said. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You know who said that, Brother Randy? Who was it, brother? Okay. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. this man was willing to give his life. I was reading today about some missionaries that were willing to go to places. Miss Eve, I think of that brother, and I can't recall his name. Did he have 4 children, honey? They were going to Africa, the most AIDS-infected area. You know who I'm talking about now? I made the display for him, like mine. That's that 24-hour period when I think I gave a $100 bill away 4 times in a 24-hour period and still got it back. God would give me $100 and I'd give it to somebody, and He'd give me another $100 and I'd give it to somebody, and He'd give me another in a 24-hour period. That missionary was one of those. He wanted to pay me for that I had made for him. He and his family had been sick, had missed all of their deputation meetings in the month of January. I met him in a missions conference down in Georgia. He came by the house and we had a meal together. Somebody might say, and he told me they had said it, "What are you thinking? How could you? How could you take those babies?" Can I tell you something? That with the burden and the call of God, that man and his family are safer in the most AIDS-infected place in this world than they are standing on the street corner in Kingsport out of the will of God. And I believe that's the way Epaphroditus lived. He knew he was doing the work of God, the will of God. And he had a warm heart while he was doing it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, that he might gain what he cannot lose. How many believes we can lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven where the moths can't get to it? Years ago, before Chevrolet started back in the Sodomites, I used to brag on Chevrolet, and they used to drive, and I still do, that I'll be done right there. They keep that stance, I'll be done. Amen. I've emailed them and told them as much. Amen. Say, "Preacher, what are you going to do?" I guess we can get us a bicycle. I don't know what we're going to do, but as much as possible, we shouldn't support it. I think that's what's wrong in America now. We've sat quiet, idly by. But I used to tell them that I knew good and well. I had an old 77 Chevrolet truck. "Brother Gary, you've done some body work. You know what I'm about to say." I said, "There'd be no Chevys in heaven because the rust will not enter in." I didn't keep it but about 5 years and put 2 sets of fenders on it in 5 years. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Appreciate you being here. I want to pattern my life after this old fella, don't you? Timothy, Paul, Epaphroditus. You say, "Well, preacher, I think you ought to pattern your life after Christ." I do too. But how many believes they did? They set us a good example, didn't they? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, for these wonderful, wonderful examples you've left us. Lord, I thank you for this man that was lovely in his character. Lord, you lived in him. Thank you for Epaphroditus, and thank you for Timothy. Thank you for Paul. God, thank you for Jesus, the change that he made in their lives. He's making in ours as well. Help us, our Father. Help us, please help us, Lord, to be more like you, to have a warm heart, to care, dear God, for your people. And Lord, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.